Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We are doing our thing with Pedro Gomez coming up. Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Insider. He was at Tim Tebow's workout yesterday in Los Angeles. Today is also supposed to be D-Day for Dave Stewart. And what's going to happen with Dave Stewart, also the latest with Yasiel Puig and the Dodgers, and much, much more, that will be with Pedro Gomez. We may have some other guests to jump in on the show. There was a big move locally today. Those of you that have watched the show through the years, I'm very big on what happens locally with ownership. There was a transaction made last night with our pro soccer team. What does it mean for the future of soccer in Arizona? I'm going to get into that. I do the games for Arizona United, so I know the situation well. I think the big story here in the middle of the day is actually the tragedy that happened to the Minnesota Vikings yesterday and what it means for the Cardinals. I don't like it when I hear about star players going down, and I am of the opinion that Teddy Bridgewater is one of the top 10, top 12 quarterbacks in the NFL. And so when I heard the news yesterday that he went down with a dislocated knee and a torn ACL, I felt bad about that, felt horrible about that. At the same time, I'm thinking, you know, if you're a Cardinal fan, and with everything that's going on with the team getting ready for the start of the regular season, and as poorly as they've looked on offense so far, at least they're not Minnesota. At least they're not Minnesota. Because if they're Minnesota, your season is over. If you're a Vikings fan, your season is over, unless, there's always the unless. And this is where the Cardinals are, too. If Carson Palmer went down today, I would be saying the same things because I don't have faith in Drew Stanton. Drew Stanton's a nice guy. I don't think Drew Stanton is somebody that can lead a team all the way through the regular season. I certainly don't think going out and getting Mark Sanchez is going to lead, no matter how talented receivers you have with Arizona. So if Carson went down today, my tone would be the same. And here's the thing with Minnesota. Adrian Peterson, this notion that Adrian Peterson should just carry the football 30 times a game and that everything will be fine, that sounds great. Adrian Peterson, when he's 22, doesn't sound great when he's coming to 32, and certainly doesn't sound great in this day and age of the NFL, where you have to have a whole cadre of running backs in order to make it through a regular season. It's like the Cardinal fan that tells me, I just want to see David Johnson out on the field. Of course, my first question is he on your fantasy team? And then it's, how do you know? Because questions that involve fantasy have become easier to spot than involve, I'm cheering for my team. There is a big difference. And because there's more people interested in the fantasy side of things. So that's why Andre Ellington's got to carry the ball a ton and get beat up. That's why Chris Johnson's got to carry the ball a ton and get beat up. And that's why David Johnson, if David Johnson's carrying the ball 30 times a game consistently in September and October, I'm not going to be happy. And I don't think you should be happy. So you flip it around on Minnesota, and if they do that to Adrian Peterson, I don't see how it works out for them. Minnesota has a terrific defense. Minnesota's offense was coming of age. They weren't very good. They weren't very dynamic last year. Remember the playoffs against Seattle. So here they are. They lose their quarterback. And for the Cardinals, it means one less team. And it sounds harsh to put it like this, because, again, you're almost celebrating an injury to Teddy Bridgewater. But if you're somebody who's rooting for the Cardinals and you see what happened to Minnesota yesterday, it's one less team to get over. You can't apply that to Dallas because Dallas stinks anyways. Before Romo went down on the coin flip. Oh, wait. I mean, he got hurt during the game. The Cowboys are not a factor. Minnesota is a factor. And fandom, of course, will be, oh, my team. You shouldn't make fun of my Cowboys. My Cowboys are the great. Your Cowboys are just a joke, okay? Let's just be straight. Minnesota, on the other hand, it's a non-contact drill. So for those that beat me up yesterday saying, see, this didn't happen in a preseason game, and you hate on preseason so much, and now what are we going to do? We need to get more reps for our quarterbacks. Are you hearing yourself? Like, the preseason should be done right now. There's no redeeming value to go to tomorrow night's Cardinals-Broncos game. You may say, well, I've never been before. This is my one shot. I had free tickets. How dare you say that about me? It's great you're going out there. It's too bad you're just watching fake stuff. This should be a week where there's no preseason game. There should be two preseason games. The more that I've seen this, the more I think it makes perfect sense. You open camp. Like the Hall of Fame game blowing up this year might be a benefit to preseason. Why do a game anymore? That's one more game. Why do a game where they can't even figure out the field? Play two of these games. Have 1 week where you go do the inter-squad stuff. You're going to still run the risk of injury, which I'm not big on, but at least it gives you a chance to work against other players. Like, rather than play the preseason game that they did in San Diego, just go over there and work out with them for 4 or 5 days and then come back. Play your preseason game against the Raiders. Play one game against the Raiders, one game at Houston. You get used to going through the routine of at home. You get used to the routine of being on the road. And then let your player personnel people take over. And I'm going to get into this pretty strong because I'm a believer that the player personnel side of football, and this is me talking to player personnel and longtime people that have been in the league. I did the NFL stuff day after day after day for years, and glad I'm not in that making sausage business anymore. It's a great game, but the amount of true football versus let's just take our employees and beat the tar out of them and let's just move on. We'll get somebody else out there and we don't care the quality of it anymore. It's ridiculous. Longtime personnel guys love doing player personnel. Tell me in this day and age, this week, when there are teams cutting players from 90 down to 75. Okay, that's 15 players per team times 30. So we have over 300 potential employees come available. How does anybody have time to evaluate those players? How does Steve Keim have any time to go work out a trade when they played a meaningless, worthless game Sunday afternoon in Houston, got home Sunday night, early Monday morning, made cuts Monday, and then have to turn around and play something that's supposed to resemble NFL football tomorrow and not have any time? Today's a throwaway day. You can't go do any player personnel stuff today. Can you bring players in for workouts today? The answer is no. So you're just trying to get from one spot to the next. Eliminate this game. You played your game in Houston. You give the players Monday off. You go through all your roster moves. You can work on some deals this week. Set your roster by this Saturday or Sunday. Have a week. Play New England. Go evaluate talent. Get back to finding players rather than doing a quick money grab on something that doesn't matter. I know it sounds like I'm whining on this, but if you listen to the business side, get past the whining, listen to the business side of this. This is what should happen in the NFL. Let's get better players on the field because as the season progresses, the best players are gone at a lot of positions. And they're looking at street free agents. They're looking at guys that want to chase their dream. And that sounds great. But when you're putting down hundreds of dollars to go watch this stuff and it's not good, the product's not good, you got to go back and invest in the players. Like if I got wiped out today, Eric could come in here today and do the show and we would be just fine. If Eric got wiped out today, Jared Nielsen could walk into Eric's spot, and Jared Nielsen could chase Charles Barkley down. We'd be just fine.
False.
So, you know, you see where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Am I right, or am I just rambling?
Let's not talk about bodies falling and people sliding into positions they don't know anything about. We all have our own little unique niches. That's what makes Sports 360 AZ work.
Did you see the Veterans for Kaepernick stuff?
I'm still trying to find my niche, by the way. What?
Shut up. Get out of here. Your niche is getting on a plane, going watching TCU play worthless games.
Of course.
Did you see Veterans for Kaepernick?
I did not.
So I like this story. It's one that caught my eye early this morning. So U.S. veterans are coming out to Colin Kaepernick's defense now. And it's what we said the other day about that Kaepernick deciding to sit out the national anthem and how it was disrespecting veterans by not paying tribute. More and more of these guys, and who was it? It was Alex Boone, I think, on the Vikings.
Yep. Former 49er.
And which makes it Kaepernick going to the Vikings, by the way. Because you have to start looking at who's going to go where. Kaepernick to the Vikings, just based on what Alex Boone said, that shouldn't preclude you from making a deal. Alex Boone said you should have some blanking respect for people who served. So Kaepernick said, I have great respect for the men and women that have fought for this country. I have family, I have friends that have gone and fought for this country. And then he went on and added his thoughts on this and talked about police brutality and black murders and so on and so forth. So now these veterans are hearing what he has to say, and Marines are going to social media saying, one guy on this story, there's many, my father, a Marine, served his country in Vietnam. He says, we're far from justice for all. Veterans for Kaepernick, hashtag. And so it's all over the place now, people standing up for Kaepernick. It'll be interesting tomorrow night in San Diego. Tim Tebow worked out yesterday. Is today Dave Stewart's last day as a Diamondback, and much more with Pedro Gomez. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sussmat.
Pedro Gomez joins us now on a day where Shelby Miller is recalled and is starting in San Francisco, which means batting practice, or this is the Shelby Miller that we thought we'd get all along. Also, is today the last day for Dave Stewart as a Diamondback? Pedro watched Tim Tebow yesterday. How was that? Yasiel Puig. Man, you and I could do an hour, but let's cut to the chase because you just don't you don't have that amount of time. In your opinion, what you're hearing, is today Dave Stewart's final day as the general manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks?
I mean, obviously, we're not in Ken Kendrick's mind. Only he can make that call. But I don't believe so. I believe he gets another year. And it would just create so much more chaos to switch general managers again under Ken Kendrick's watch. And I believe he's been talked into the fact that you've got to allow for some stability at some point. And just another switch. Look, if they do get rid of Dave Stewart, then this whole Tony La Russa experiment will be a complete failure. And I'm not sure that Ken Kendrick is ready to go down that road just yet.
So if he decides today to not do it, hearing what you're saying, I'm trying to read between the lines, it would be Derek going to Ken saying, don't do this. And if he does do it, Tony walks. Am I hearing you?
Well, in you know, Tony at that point would be less within the organization than he has been. Mm-hmm. And Tony probably would walk at that point. Knowing him for as long as I've known him, almost 30 years, you know, he's not going to just sit here and be a figurehead. So, yeah, I would think that La Russa would be gone if that decision is made. And like I said, it's really in Ken Kendrick's hands because, you know, he has shown over the course of his stewardship of this franchise that, you know, he's a guy that will just make decisions on a whim, and that's it. It's done. Whether it be Darren Sutton, whether it be Kevin Towers, whatever it is, you know, he alone just decides, and that's it. It's that there's no discussion. So there really is no way to know because it's really whatever mood Ken Kendrick is in. And you know, if he woke up on a bad side of the bed today, then Dave Stewart's gone. If he's looking at the bigger picture, Dave Stewart will still be here tomorrow.
Okay, and then baseball people that you speak to around the game think what should happen in Arizona?
Well, they've already questioned the whole Tony La Russa. This is nationally speaking.
Yes,
They've already questioned the whole Tony La Russa, Dave Stewart hiring, because what they tell me is, you know, it's easy to look from the outside at being a general manager, but being a general manager entails so much hard work and preparation more than anything. And to think that you can just walk into that job is really outlandish. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now that they've gone down this road with Dave Stewart, with very little history on his resume. You know, I know he was an assistant GM for the Blue Jays years ago, well over a decade ago. But he was an agent for the last 8-10 years before he became a GM. And there's a lot that goes into the job. It's not just the major league level. So much of it is player development and getting your team, your organization ready, not for this season, but for 3, 4, 5 years down the road. And that takes a lot of organizational work. And that's where being director of scouting, national cross-checker, director of minor league operations, having, you know, you look at the GMs that are the most successful, and they've held those titles at some point during their rise. And so they're familiar with every aspect, and that's just something that nationally they look at this organization and say, this is a joke to think that you can just walk in and be a GM.
All right, I got one more thing on the Diamondbacks. We're talking with Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Insider, Analyst Valley resident with Brad Sussmat. And that is this. A.J. Pollock has come back, and he's been really good. And if Shelby Miller goes out today and in the next 3-4 weeks pitches better, we're going to hear this whole, we're so excited for the way we ended the season and all of that nonsense. And then we're going to sit here next year and say, well, if they get off to a slow start, Chip's gone, and Chip may be gone anyways. I kind of think he is. Somebody's got to take the bullet on this one. But what you've seen out of Pollock, and do you see this little narrative building if Miller comes back in these next 4 or 5 starts and does well?
Of course you see that narrative building. Yeah. You know, when you're a franchise that is floundering,
yep,
and has so underachieved, you try to grab onto anything that is giving you any type of hope. And that would be the narrative that is something they could sell to fans. Because let's face it, you sell your product to the people that pay the tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got to give them something, Brad, to say, hey, stick with us. Look how we finished the year these last 5 weeks of the season. We can, you know, we're building on that.
By the way. I just never buy that. That's just crapola when they say, well, we finished the season strong. No, everybody had packed their vans, got their leases set up. They're gone.
You know? I'm with you 100% on that.
Yeah.
100%. It's kind of like saying, hey, look what we did in spring training.
Ugh.
We had such a successful spring training. We're just going to build on that.
Nightmare.
Well, nobody had a better record in spring training than the Arizona Diamondbacks this year.
Yeah.
And look where they are at the bottom of the standings. It's just like the Cardinals. Just because they're 0-3 in preseason, that won't mean a thing once the season starts.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous, but you need to sell yourself to the public. I'm just talking about how they will sell it, how they will spin it, and that is what they will do.
Okay, so yesterday you're watching Tim Tebow, and you're watching him in person at USC, and are you watching him and you're saying to yourself, self, why am I here? This guy has no shot. Or are you watching this saying, well, this is going to make a nice little movie on Lifetime? Or are you watching him saying, you know what? A couple of years, he may make it. Where were you at yesterday on all this with Tebow?
My initial thought was, if his name wasn't Tim Tebow, there's absolutely no way that any of the people that were there would be there.
Yeah.
And that includes scouts.
The Diamondbacks were there. The Diamondbacks were there.
Absolutely. Yep. Oh, no. Almost all 30 clubs were there.
Yeah.
Almost every club was represented. And it's basically also, you know, you've got a lot of scouts that live in Southern California. So it's not like you're, although some scouts did fly in, by the way, some scouting supervisors did. But it's not like it's costing you a lot of money. You just tell, you know, your guy that lives in Southern California, hey, we need you to be at USC today. So he's already being paid anyway, so it didn't cost anything in that sense. But, you know, I spoke to several scouts during and after the workout, and they were just shaking their head saying, even if I was a college coach, I would not recruit this guy. You know, he will be signed. Somebody will sign him, and it'll be more of a marketing type thing, kind of. Let's face it, Brad, when Michael Jordan played double-A baseball, people were buying a lot of Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, gear. And if you know, the one team that I was told that would be the best fit would be the Atlanta Braves because of the whole SEC country.
Yeah.
The, you know, football is king in the South, and he played in the SEC. You could sell it in that frame and be able to make some money. And let's face it, if you make $1 million off of a signing like that, and it's not going to cost a lot to sign Tim Tebow, by the way, the return could be well over $1 million, and that's money that you can then spend in player development. So there's definitely a plus side to signing someone like that.
The Diamondbacks wouldn't do this, Pedro, would they? I mean, it screams of something they would. It screams of something that they would do and put a big release out, and you know, all that's it's so sitting right there, and I'm like, I'm going to take this pen and run it through my eyeball if they do this and send a release out about how great it is Tim Tebow's here. Do this.
And you know what? The Diamondbacks have been known to do things.
Yes.
That do make you scratch your head because it's all about winning the PR daily war rather than let's try to win the National League West.
Yes,
and that's been kind of a theme of this organization when you talk to people nationally for a while, and they really do view the Diamondbacks kind of as a sleeping giant, only because so many players live here, and you know they would get pressure from their wives. Hey, why can't you play for the Diamondbacks? So, you know, if things ever do turn around, this would be a great destination for a lot of players. But they're not near there yet. But in terms of Tebow, I don't think the Diamondbacks, they wouldn't be able to capitalize on what a Tim Tebow signing would be as opposed to somebody like the Atlanta Braves, where Tebow's name means so much more.
Yeah, and because he did work out here in Scottsdale with Chad Moeller, and Chad has said all sorts of nice things about him, so he's been living here. And
I talked to Chad yesterday for a while.
Yeah. Yasiel Puig, before I let you go, what happens? Claimed off waiver? I mean, somebody put a claim in on him. Do you know who?
Somebody did, and I just saw that is now dead. They're not able to work out a deal. And really, when you think about it, it was a long shot to start with because somebody putting in a claim on him means that the Dodgers can only negotiate with one club in terms of trying to trade Yasiel Puig. So that club could then say, here's our best offer, take it or leave it. And the Dodgers would say, well, no, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for more. In the offseason, you can negotiate with 29 other clubs.
Right.
I would fully expect, and this is the belief among many people in other front offices, that Puig will be up as a trade value that the Dodgers have. But at that point, you can negotiate with every club and pick out a much better deal than you can with just one. The Dodgers did, however, try to trade him right now during this little period.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't come up with something they wanted.
It'd be great for the pool man over at the ballpark if he came here. The jokes would be endless, right? Get your pool chlorinated rather than urinated with Yasiel. I mean, there's all sorts of fun stuff you could do. So I'll let you go off that.
Oh, man.
See
marketing,
you.
Marketing.
That's it. Talk to you later.
All right, Brad.
Yeah, there's Pedro Gomez. ESPN Baseball Insider. Could you imagine? Pedro, it's so good when you talk to somebody so widely respected that the national view of what is going on here is there's just a ton of PR stuff rather than winning games. I like Ken a lot. I've talked to Ken about this company. Ken has been a wide open book on my venture in terms of just this is what you should consider doing because he's a very smart business guy. And I'm all about having smart business guys talk to me. But geez, oh man, when the team on the field is just viewed as somebody who's out there selling how great they are and they're not doing anything, that's just hard to hear. Got some stuff I want to get to on the other side around the college football scene that's making some news and notes today. We'll have that. Plus, the soccer team was sold this morning. I think we're going to catch up with the outgoing owner, Kyle Ng, a little bit later on and fill you in on that. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
So Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll have Kyle Ng with us. He is the outgoing owner of Arizona United, the pro soccer franchise here in the Valley. They were sold this morning. Pretty big investment group, including Brandon McCarthy, the pitcher of the Dodgers. So we're going to get into the details on that and what it means for pro soccer. I am big on having five pro sports teams in the Valley. Phoenix is the only top 10 market now that does not have MLS. So in order to get MLS, Phoenix is the last one standing. Is this new group have the wherewithal, the stadium and all of that? Without Kyle Ng, soccer goes away a couple of years ago. That's just a fact. So I'm going to talk to Kyle about that. The U of A matchup against BYU on Saturday night, I'm hearing now that, and we've seen it advertised here on the show, I'm hearing now it's going to be north of 50,000 expected to show up for the game. And so if you're Rich Rodriguez and you're Greg Byrne and U of A is moving a game out of Tucson to bring it up to Arizona, around Arizona, bring it up to the Valley, for the U of A brand to get more exposure here in the Valley and to make it centrally located for everyone across the state to come and to have a program like BYU come here with a large LDS following, is 50,000 considered enough of a number to do this again? And I think the answer is going to be yes for Greg Byrne. Now, it doesn't matter how many U of A fans show up. I think if you're Greg Byrne and you can go find a way to convince teams with large fan bases, fan followings to come here, if you take a team like, if we're thinking like Nebraska in college football, if you could get a U of A Nebraska type of game, somebody that has fans that come here as snowbirds, play the game early in the season, would they ever consider moving a Pac-12 game up to the Valley? That would be interesting for me to see. And I think it's an admission. There's nothing wrong with this, that Tucson simply isn't big enough. And that the loyal fans, by that I mean, for basketball, they'll go anywhere. That's why I've said it's a basketball school. But to grow the football brand, if you've got to give up a home game down in Tucson and put it up here in the Valley and have it air-conditioned and be in a space where fans will show up, and you're the athletic director, you're going to take some heat from old-timers that say, wow, this is where I've parked, and this is the stadium, and I've always come here, and I can't believe we're giving up. No, this is progress. Like, of the two games this Saturday night, NAU, ASU, or BYU, U of A, come on, there's really no choice here if you're really into big-time college football. There really isn't. We're going to both. I may go to both. I'm going to start out over on the west side. I'm going to start out at the BYU, U of A game. And if it's a really good game, I'll probably stay there. Because E's going to the NAU, ASU game. I think Jordan's going to the ASU game.
That's correct.
Jared Cohen, if it comes down to U of A against anybody, he's going to fight to be at U of A.
And that's, he fought successfully.
Did he fight? Did you fight him on that one? Did you guys thumb wrestle?
No.
No, you didn't? All right.
It's sort of, we kind of do first come, first serve. It's fine.
Yeah.
We like to, you know, share the wealth.
That's fine. It's fine. So that to me is of interest. I guess this weekend too, I'm a Heisman voter. So I want to pick up my Christian McCaffrey narrative from last season and say I already have a front runner. Now, you may say that's not fair. Well, no, I guess it's not to some of you who have already decided you're going to vote for Trump well before, you're going to vote for Clinton well before. Am I making some sense here? Okay. If you've made up your mind, I'm saying today, if I had to vote based off of last year, I'm not voting Deshaun Watson over Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey is the better choice. So I have to have somebody take it away from him. It's kind of like when I'm teaching over at Arizona State. I walked in there and I said, you all are starting out with C's. You're not starting out with A's. What are you talking about? I'm not giving you guys A's. You have to work to earn this. You're all C's in my book. So in the Heisman race, as it gets started, like Josh Rosen at UCLA has a perfect opportunity to get himself some early national run, national attention, some writers, some people that follow the Heisman, to say, you know, did you see Josh Rosen against Texas A&M? And you will look at that and say, he should be in my Heisman top five. Should immediately do that. I have said that there, and every year this is the case, every year this is the case, there are guys that come out of the blue, guys you would never expect, and they become Heisman Trophy candidates as the season progresses. I think Kalen Ballage at Arizona State, because he has some national games, because he's going to carry the football a lot, I don't want to hear about because DeMario Richards they're taking away. I think Ballage is a better back, plain and simple. And I'm a Heisman voter, so deal with it. So there's certain players that I'm going to be watching on this opening weekend around the country and say, okay, where are they at? Josh Rosen clearly is one of those. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm very much looking forward to the Heisman side of things this weekend. On the other side, we're going to talk about the sale of the pro soccer franchise here in the Valley, something very local and near and dear to many of us, as we want to see that fifth pro sports team added to the Valley. We'll have the outgoing owner, Kyle Ng, on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Welcome back. It is a very fine show today. Tomorrow, the Cardinals will be in action against Denver. We'll have that, and of course, ASU and U of A in play this weekend as the college football season gets off and running. I mentioned off the top on today's show that today's a big day in the Valley sports scene because I want to see soccer work here in Arizona in a big way. I want to see the MLS here. You have to walk before you run. 2.5 years ago, Arizona United was not even in existence. There was a former soccer team that was left high and dry, players not being paid, and they were a disaster. And a guy that I've known for many years, and I consider a friend, Kyle Ng, took over the team. I called him and said, what do you need? And he said, why don't you do some games? And so I've been invested in seeing how this thing has come along through the years. Today, Kyle Ng resigned as co-chairman, governor, and CEO of Arizona United Soccer Club. He's done his due diligence and is handing it off to a very impressive list of Valley businessmen that want to take soccer to the next level. Kyle Ng joins us via Skype now to jump on in here and give what happened, how it happened, and 2.5 years ago till today, what you've been able to do. Thanks for jumping on board.
Hey, Bradley, how you doing?
Doing well. Let's go back on this. When did you first decide that it was time to hand the baton off?
Well, I never thought I was bigger than the game. You know, I was a caretaker of the game of soccer, of professional soccer in the Valley. I always knew that there was going to be more passionate people, more better connected people, people with a lot more resources, and that were going to take the baton from me, and I would pass that baton on to the next group and cheer for them to take the game, the beautiful game of soccer, to the next level. For me, it was always about a community thing. I didn't want to see professional soccer die in the Valley. It was dead in the Valley. I was able to resurrect it. Myself and our team, we were able to put together a team in 29 days.
Yep.
So we were either really smart or really stupid. And in 29 days, we played our first season in 2014. This is year three. And I always knew that I was just the caretaker of professional soccer in Arizona, and I was going to take it and be able to pass it on to some people that will be able to take professional soccer to the next level, and hopefully eventually that's MLS. Yeah. And when you have guys like Burke Bakai, president and CEO of Kona Grill, you got guys like David Farca, you know, chairman of the Arizona Mexico Commission for Governor Ducey. When you have a guy like Tim Reister, who I've known for many, many years, and who's one of the best runs one of the best ad agencies in the Western United States, you have people like that on top of my current partners who like Diplo, like Pete Wentz, like David Rappaport, like Brett Johnson. I think that group's going to be able to do something special in the Valley. I'm going to have a front row seat to watch. It's going to be great.
Were you fatigued by all this? I mean, you're putting in a lot of hours, a lot of efforts. You have a successful ad agency off to the side. I guess I'm just wondering, was this too big of a job for one person to do? You had people around you, I get it, but this all fell on your shoulders.
It did fall on my shoulders. It fell on my shoulders emotionally, physically, mm-hmm. Financially. You know, I brought in some partners to help with some of those parts before, but everything really came down to passion. And I really have been able to identify and admire the passion that soccer fans have, not only across the country, but more specifically in the Valley. And that, I think that passion needed to be served by people who are equally or even more passionable and more knowledgeable about the about soccer in the Valley. For me, once again, I mean, I went to my first professional soccer game when Arizona United hosted their first game. Yeah. So that was the first time I actually had gone to a professional soccer game. I'd grown to like the game. But there's people more passionate, and I think fatigue, maybe, you know, but better opportunity. Always putting the game above myself. This is not about me, not about my ownership. It's about the game of soccer, and can we get the game of soccer to the next level so we can have kids, our grandkids, be able to have a team to cheer for in this Valley and make that truly the fifth professional sport right here in the Valley of the Sun.
And that's what I want to see, too, and that leads to the question right. For the audience. Can it work? You went from Peoria to Scottsdale, Peoria, finding a facility, the heat in the middle of summer. I think that the heat part can be handled. I really do if you're in a consistent location. You've now gone through this for 2.5 years. Can it work? We're the only market in the top 10 in the country that doesn't have an MLS franchise. Can this work?
I think it can work. And I think the guys that bought in believe it can work as well. And I think a lot of things have to happen. We need to have the team needs to play consistently on the field so that we have a consistent fan base. We need to act great in the community. One thing I'm most proud about is our team acted like professionals on and off the field. We didn't have any of the other issues that some of the other sports teams have, some of the other sports professional athletes have. We maintain a consistent brand on and off the field. So one of the things I think they have to do is continue to build a fan base. It goes from 2,000 fans a game to 3,000, from 3,000 to 6,000, 6,000 to 7,000. Then, on top of that, the corporate support. And when you got guys like Farka and Burke and Tim Reister and Mark Detmer and all these guys out there with all their connections, they're going to build a great corporate sponsorship support. Now you got corporate support, you got community support. Now we need to look at some municipalities and who will make time and place and put together the effort to bring professional soccer to their community. And that's, at the end of the day, when you can get all those three things together, if they can do it in other places, I'm confident they can do it in Phoenix. And I think it's going to take all three of those pieces put together. And I think the Valley has proven they can, you know, support four professional sports teams, plus ASU, plus Mercury, plus the Rattlers. Soccer is a unique audience, a unique demographic, a family audience, a young person's demographic as well. There's some unique things. And I don't think the heat, I mean, have you been to Orlando in the summer? I'd rather be in Phoenix in the summer, to be honest with you. You know, so, and I lived in Orlando when I was part of the launch team of the Golf Channel. It's people live in Phoenix. They know about Phoenix. And, you know, I tell you what, everyone says, oh, everyone leaves in the summer. They won't leave. They appointmently. They leave because they don't have anything else to do. Give them something to do, someone to cheer for, someone to be proud of, and people will stay.
Before I let you go, because it sounds like you're really busy getting all these beeps and bongs and all that stuff.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. This group that's coming in, you've listed off some of the names, but and it's an impressive group on paper. What is it about this group that gives you so much confidence that this will work with this group and this isn't just something for a year or two and then it gets handed off to somebody else and somebody else?
Well, a couple things. One, Burke has deep-rooted passion in soccer. His uncle was the president of Galatasaray in Turkey. Tim Reister, his kids play soccer. David Farka in Mexico played soccer. These guys are deep-rooted soccer guys. They're also deep-rooted community guys. They're deep-rooted corporate guys, and they're tied into the political scene as well. So all those things together, I think they came together to say, hey, let's take what we built, which, you know, was a step. Let's take it a few more steps with a lot more resources. Brandon McDonald's in that group as well. And take that to the next floor. I think they can succeed. I think they're going to put their heads together. David Farka is in there as president. He's running the day-to-day. I think, you know, that's probably what we lacked, of someone to run the day-to-day on a consistent basis, because, you know, Brett had a day job. I had a day job, quote-unquote. And I think for the fans and for the players, the best thing is this group. I'm really, really excited about the future. And hopefully at the end of the day, when they do get this MLS when we do get an MLS opportunity, I feel like I played a small part in helping build starting that momentum. And I think the future is really bright, Brad.
You're being a little humble there about, because if you don't come along in 2014, there's nothing going on here. There's just, you're going to have everybody trying to do a startup, but you kept it going and paid off some past debt. That's good stuff. Appreciate your time and your insight. Best of luck. Thanks.
Love the show, Brad. Thank you.
It's Kyle Ing with us for the outgoing side of the soccer franchise, Arizona United SC. They're actually in action tonight against Galaxy. They actually played the Galaxy. I would think over the last couple of years, if we're going through the highlight of what they've been able to do, the LA Galaxy, not Galaxy 2, who they play tonight, the LA Galaxy came to Phoenix to play in a Hunt Open Classic. And United led. And there was like 6,000-7,000 fans that were out to see Galaxy come here and to see this little soccer thing. So it is one of my passions. I want to see the MLS come here. I want all five major sports. I'm kind of greedy in that way. When I get the guy that says stick to football, then you're 1980s. You don't see how the growth of what's going on. There's some other sports, too, I want to see come into Phoenix. I want to see UFC come down here and do a little bit more. So I appreciate Kyle Ing's time. Best of luck to him. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can get to at Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. High school, college, pro. Makes no difference to us. Not sitting here saying, how many clicks is this going to get? And if it doesn't get any, we're not going to talk about it. No, that's not how it works. We're Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmart. I've been doing this for 6 years. Absolutely love it. Passionate day in and day out. Thanks for being with us.